Okay, so welcome to the July 31st meeting of the use case realization call. And there's Claritone who's here. All right. So there's quite a number of things going on. So we're starting to take a look at the things for R6. So let me lead with that. So the main use case page is here, and let me put in the chat for people. Chat. Chat. Okay. All right. So to everyone. All right. So in this page, basically it, leading up to M0 is where you need to kind of update with the for M0 if you're working on a use case with the information that is needed. And the main thing you need actually is here, go to the use case templates, scroll down. I should just put it in the thingy here. Tracking template. Okay. So basically you need this, and we'll just put it here as we go to six, revert zero. So the main thing is you need the development status, meaning you have a rough idea of what platform components you're gonna impact. I actually created a more detailed one. So you can cut and paste off any of the 5G pages. So I worked with the 5G team last week on Thursday, last Thursday, and on the 25th, and excuse me, and we I added this table in for all of the 5G use cases. So if you go into any of these PNF support and 5G use cases, they should all have, they should all have this table that we need for development impacts. So that's the main thing I think that we need in the next couple weeks from the all the various use case teams that this is filled out leading up to the end of August. A lot of the PTLs, of course, are deeply engaged in getting R5 out the door. Last week, they hit M1, and there's three major drops in this sort of shortened cycle for R5, which ends, and they all told me that ends at September 5th. For the use cases, I've contacted and reached out to a lot of different use case teams. The red ones I haven't heard back from yet. The gold ones, I have. They were use cases in R4, but no longer show up as use cases in R6. So I'm not entirely sure if they will be use cases in R6. the ones in red, actually I heard back from Pamela, but And they do have an R6 page with things happening in control loops, but I felt it wasn't really a use case. I mean, control loops is a platform component. And if you go to this wiki page for the control loop off of the main page, the thing is it's like a, you know, like SO or SDC or controllers. Control loops I view as kind of one of the main components. It's not really so much a use case per se. So I emailed her back saying, does this really need to be use case? I mean, isn't this just the platform project? So change manager and HPA and scaling, I haven't heard from yet. I did hear from Takeuchi on mobile service chaining, and actually KDDI is going to be taking over. There's a new name here. I got to put in the new name for this, and they are going to probably present here at some point, but they're still analyzing what they need to do. A couple of new use cases, the multi-domain optical service orchestration I heard back from Raghavan, and the third-party operational demand manager I heard back from Nishi on those. So those are now showing accurately what the impacts are. Also, I was the TSC representative proxy for Nokia these past few weeks, and the TSC team is also looking at what sort of automation, testing automation, there is on all these use cases. So we need to see if there is testing automation, and how much testing automation has there been for R6 and R4. This is the R6 page, and you know, I was working in the plug-and-play use case, so I contacted the team, and they did indicate that they have 100% test coverage. Okay. Any questions on that so far? All right. Okay, so we need the team's... the impacts here. Okay, I see a couple other people joined. Oops.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
Chuck. Can I ask you, this is a very simple question, only a one sentence answer.
Sure.
Given that things are changing, what are the core roles of this call on Wednesdays and the one on Thursdays, the 5G use case call?
So here I cover more than just 5G, right? I cover all the use cases.
Right.
So for example, data persistency would be a perfect
topic. That's true.
Topic.
Yep. It is a use case realization call. Yep. 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 Yeah. Yeah. You're right. You're right.
Control it. Another one is a perfect topic for this call.
But yeah.
But not for the 5G call, right? So just
true,
as an example.
True.
And I have the audience is different too. Like you see, most of the people here don't attend the 5G call, and some people like you and me are on both calls, but the people are very different. And also, so we all know, because in the 5G call last week, I presented about you know what we need to do, but the other use case teams I haven't talked to yet, because Ala didn't cancel all the meetings because she was away on holiday all throughout August, right? So I think people are the other people working other use cases also should probably cut and paste this table into whatever use cases they're working on, so that they know that what they need to do for M0. I think the thing is M0 feels like it's really far away, but watching all the PTLs, I mean, I attend a number of different component calls, such as SDC and ANAI and so forth. I mean, they're all very heavily engaged in R5, and many of the of the PTLs have no idea what's what's going to come down the pipe, and I feel that might blindside them. On the SDC calls and the ANAI calls, people have given me time. For example, on the modeling calls and stuff, people have given me time to present on what the use cases are, where we are, and our studies and their impacts. So I presented things like this. For example, I was on the ANAI call just before this call, and I presented this table. And I also, I've also put an impact page together for the ANAI team. And, just to let give Jimmy a heads up of what's coming down the pipe. But I don't do that for all the components, right? It's really up to, if you work in a use case, it's important that you actually reach out to the teams and let them know what you think is an impact. For example, I know for the OFSON PCI use case, I told them, you're considering maybe a new cell edition. So for example, here I said, that you're maybe extending the use case to handle new cell editions, and that might impact ANAI, but you're not sure yet. That's what I said. So whatever you tell me here, for example, I can convey to the ANAI team that in particular, because I attend the ANAI call and they give me time each week to talk of impacts, right? Okay. So what I did was, at least for ANAI, I just kind of went down this call. I kind of went down this column, for example, and things that we think there are impacts. I wrote in that spreadsheet. So I did ask, and I haven't heard back yet, Marge and Vimal for the new harmonization use case, if they had if they would like to present in one of the realization calls, upcoming realization calls. So we'll probably have a call related to that in an upcoming call. Okay. So that's in the last 5G call, Vimal had asked everybody to basically go and fill out as best you can this table, which is what I've been working on. So for example, for plug and play, I've cleaned up some of the stuff here that we're looking at potential impacts and seeing what there might be in R6. Okay, and I think it would be good to just to know what the new use cases are coming down the pipe. So I think the service resolver is a new use case in R6. I created a new PNF support use case page based on Ola's request to gather all of the PNF related use cases that started in R5 and maybe had an application in 5G, but it really applies to more than just 5G stuff. So the pre-onboarding onboarding use case, configuration netconf, plug and play, and software upgrade. I mean, these are use cases that have come about more than just in. I mean, they've been around for a while, right? Plug and play started in Beijing, but they're all now evolved to just beyond 5G, and so we've grouped them together as general PNF use cases. The optical service L1 L0 orchestration is new. The domain manager is also new and has been presented. So if you've missed those presentations, some of them have recordings, and I may ask some people to speak on those as well in the future as well, just so people are more aware of them. For the 5G use cases, there's three new use cases in there as well. So the service modeling use case is a use case that I've proposed that I'll talk about this one later. Let me leave that for later. The licensing management is a new use case. It's being driven by Timo Perala from Nokia and Simuli from Ericsson. An idea here is that it's introducing licensing management for ONAP and a PNF. Topics include like how to create licenses, manage licenses, and handle terms between a vendor and service providers. Obviously, this is something that we expect to be more than just 5G, but we'll start as a 5G use case. There have been a number of meetings already on this, both offline and in the public community, where Nokia and Ericsson are just first starting to hash out some details first. And I'm sure they'll present more publicly once, as they're working on some of the details. So, watch for that. Of course, that'll have modeling impact. There's already been some presentations in the modeling subcommittee related to licensing management. They've actually proposed a rough model for it, but I'm sure that'll be updated once this use case gets underway. The RAN standards harmonization, I'm going to kind of leave this one. I won't go into details, as I expect that will probably be a presentation on this in total, a more full presentation on this in an upcoming realization call. But basically, the idea is that there's XRAN, which has evolved to ORAN, is defining these ON and A1 standards, which basically connect to a 5G RAN to ONAP and other things. And ORAN itself is a consortium, a collaboration of companies that are a different set of companies than ONAP. I mean, there are overlaps, of course. But as such, you can't directly use the ORAN documents. You have to kind of cut and paste information. But they're largely driven by 3GPP as well. So really, it's trying to get all these different standards from all these different things together under one roof. So while they're not new, I would expect also the network slicing to define a fairly new use case, basically, of what they were trying to accomplish in R6. So expect that to be kind of new. And also, I think the OF PCI SON, I mean, SON is a humongous topic, right? And they did an amazing, wonderful demo for PCI. But there's a bazillion other SON topics as well. So I don't know if they'll pursue that in R6, something new, or just extend the PCI thing. But potentially, there's a ton of things you could demonstrate with SON, or you could explore with SON. SON is composed of three legs, self-optimization, self-configuration, and self-healing. So it's great to have a demonstrator of something such as PCI. And I know there are extensions to that use case, but I don't know if Shankar is actually in the call. So I don't know if you are planning or thinking about doing other things, but that's certainly a possibility.
So it's still SON related, but there are dimensions that need to be completed. So the overall, I sort of think in terms of what is needed to be more ready for an operator or vendor to actually take this use case and make it more real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Actually, that's one of the reasons for, and again, I'm going to come back to the service modeling stuff. In fact, that's maybe a good segue into the service modeling stuff. What are we really trying to do? Ultimately, we need to make an actual real unit connect to ONAP, which we haven't done yet, right? We need to actually take an actual thing and have it be recognized, and an actual PNF and have it be recognized and register and stuff into ONAP. In the 5G use cases, at least, 5G is composed of a centralized unit, a distributed unit, and a radio unit. Together, these three things comprise a 5G base station, sometimes called a GNB or GNode B. And that connects through a backhaul into a core network elements, like a user plane function, session management function, unified data management, and so forth, authentication service function. All these things basically manage the core, and then ONAP has a view of these things. So, you know, there's a lot of modeling work that's being done to right now model these the CU and DU, and we need to basically get to a point where we can actually manage those to a point that ONAP has enough of an understanding of those boxes, basically, so that it can be managed. So to that end, to model a 5G service, is composed of some network functions of ENF, PNF, and a lot of network function policies, templates, blueprints, deployment artifacts, templates, connection points, virtual links, informational type artifacts such as manuals and stuff, and configuration files like YAMLs and JSON files and so forth. So now a lot of the ability to create a service is already in ONAP. That's already kind of there. And so that's not new, but a lot of the devils in the details is defining some of the details of how to define a PNF and all the things in a PNF that a 5G service needs. Is that sufficient, right? And so the PNF descriptor and an overall view of what a model might look like. So we have, say, a PNF, a DU, a distributed unit. It connects to through a connection point as a modeled by the PNFD to a virtual link and a connection point to a CU. And a lot of this is able to be represented in ONAP now. So a lot of that is is there and in place. But if we look at a more, you know, as we start diving into more of the details, so this is the model from the modeling team of a PNF. So you see there's a number of attributes related to a PNF and associated classes such as software version type and interfaces and describing the potential interfaces that a PNF can have, the software, its software capabilities, MIG interfaces, and line interface types. And so there's a view of the model of a PNF. And the question is this an, you know, hopefully this is enough, and how, what we need to do to expand it, and getting all the vendors and service providers together to agree to a view of the PNFs to create an actual 5G service, I think will be important for a lot of the 5G use cases, right? Who are looking to take their use case to the next step. So for example, you know, in the OFSON PCI use case, I mean, there's a simulated RAN, right? So everything is virtual. And that's great to conceptually demonstrate that it works with a virtual network. But, you know, to do any of these use cases with something, an actual 5G DU, one of the first steps is to be able to model a 5G service. And there's still a lot of debate, actually, for example, for a allotted network function, what it is, and do we need it, and so forth. And there's still actually quite a bit of discussion and debate of what exactly it will be the 5G service and how would you model it, in the sense that you could, in theory, model the... you could, in theory, model, for example, a DU as its own service, a CU as its own service, and then collectively those things together as a GNOB service. Or what I'm showing here is basically a 5G service. In UML, the diamond is like a HAZA, so it has a you know, DU and CU. I'm not showing them separately. So I think that at least has been kind of agreed on. And we have some commonality there. But you know, one of the other things that I'm doing actually is taking a look at the PNF, parameters, and taking a look and see, are those parameters sufficient for what we need to create a service, a PNF, and will be sufficient for the various use cases coming in R6. a lot of these are parameters that were defined in the plug and play use case. So you see all of these were actually from R2, essentially, from the plug and play use case. They're a parameter from how they come into the unit and or into the system through the PNF registration VES event, and what they are, how they are in runtime for as a runtime instance in ANAI. And then in R4, for the pre-onboarding and boarding use case, there's a number of different new parameters that are related to the PNF package, what's on gets onboarded, and PNF ID provider, version, security, function description, and so forth, and how they're used within ANAI. So basically trying to get an understanding of that mapping. I know Zoo's been working on some slides, and I'm meeting with him later today to discuss this mapping, so we have a better view of what the parameters that are used in the PNF, notably at first the PNF, and we'll probably do a similar thing for the VNF, and then how they get used within ANAI. Okay. All right. Okay, so I think, let's see. So so in R6, we should maybe also think about some of the platform evolution things. The controller to NF association, the idea of that was that right now there's lots of different controllers, and maybe that they're kind of merging into a common CC SDK controller. But the idea is, you know, with all these controllers, how do you know which is the right controller to control a an NF? So I know there's the CC SDK is now, let's see. There's the VNFC, so the CC SDK, I think there's the VFC controller, the AppC controller, the SDNR controller, SDNR controller, and SDNC controller. Yeah. And I think they're trying to merge some of those together. I don't know, maybe if Chakra or somebody else has heard news about that. but in any case, I think there some of the controllers may merge, and if they do merge, then the need for this may be a lot less, right? Or may go away completely. So the idea here was, if there are lots of controllers, how do you know which controller is right for your particular kind of?
Hi, Ben.
Hi.
I think it may also contain CDS.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so, and the question is, will the CCSDK, I think there was some merging of controllers happen in R6. I'm still not entirely sure what's, I think there was some proposal yet, but it's not like kind of done. Okay. So Shankar, for the data persistency stuff, they did some a great work with the MariaDB solution, and we got something working there, right? So the question is I think to take that to the next step, do we need to do stuff to make that broader, more wider adopted, as you generally used by more use cases and functions? I mean, what is the solution we have there already able to be adopted by a lot of different use cases and functions? What do you see as things that we need to do? Oh, Shankar might have to leave here. So, okay, Shankar had to drop. So anyway, that's one thing that we had a presentation on this, and they'll be continuing work on that. Okay, so again, I said that I've asked Marge and Vimal to present something at a upcoming release. Samui and Timo are working this new licensing management use case, which I mentioned already. And I think Shankar, who spoke earlier on the call, I know there's a number of improvements that they're working on for the OFPCI, and there was just a demonstration last week on last week's call for the OFPCI stuff, which was great. I see Chakras on the call for BBS. I had a sort of short list of things that might be done. I don't know if this is accurate anymore. Chakra, do you have a view? Chakra, are you there? Can you hear me? All right. Can people hear me? Is there?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if Chakra maybe is muted or something. So this is the latest view that I had of the BBS use case. There are some slides, and from those slides, I kind of got a view of what we think might be done in R6. Pre-onboarding, onboarding. I did meet with Zhu this week. And let me see. I met with Sue this week. And for pre-onboarding and onboarding, they were looking at a few new extensions. Pre-onboarding, onboarding right here. So this use case is about onboarding XNF packages. So there's some evolution of the platform and information data model work, introducing and refining some of the parameters that I just showed you on this table. I think we need to understand what other impacts that we have or extensions we might need. And then I know there's the software version, which is currently in the model. If you look at the PNF model here, you see that the software version is here, but it's actually getting used now with the new software update upgrade use case. So that's a new parameter that is going to get introduced. So for PNF software validation, the option 2 enhancement for artifact security was not implemented yet in R4 in Dublin. And so that's we're looking to implement that in R6. Further SOL 04 alignment, license modeling check. and then the VNF onboarding, some enhancements to that. It wasn't fully tested to automate the VNF onboarding. And then additional validation for package security for the model transformation from a VNFD to the platform. And then I mentioned about the software versioning, and then some updates to documentation. So those are some things that are happening with the pre-onboarding and boarding use case in R6. Okay. So this is kind of the standards harmonization is kind of related to this new use case actually here. And in fact, I can probably delete this item now. So this is a row basically, or this is an item basically related to trying to harmonize all the, oh, Tracy joined. Hey, Tracy. I don't know, Tracy had brought up the topic about harmonizing all of these standards. And so we've since introduced a new use case now related to standards, 3GPP notably, and A1 and O1 and ORAN standards that Vimal and Marge are leading. although Tracy brought a number of other standards like ROTM and Open ROTM and ISOMI and things. So maybe there needs to be more work done there. Okay. Tracy, do you want to say something about that? Or, oh, she's not on audio. But anyway, Tracy had at one point brought this point up, and I think it's an important point. I think we do have a use case addressing ORAN and 3GPP through this, but maybe not some of the optical standards like the Open ROTM, ISOMI, ONF, the optical transport configuration control. I don't know if we need a new use case to address those. So maybe there should be like a new use case to handle some of those things. Okay.
Hi, Ben.
Yeah.
This is Yao Guang from Huawei.
Yeah.
I don't know the details of this modeling 5G RAN use case. Actually, I had presented a topic on ONF DDF in Sweden. I would like to propose a new use case. Maybe the name of 5G NRM configuration.
5G NRM configuration.
I did present it in the DDF.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Do you have slides? I don't think I have those slides. Do you have...
I have one slide. Yeah, in the DDF wiki page. Okay. If you can check that. And also, I would like to
Do you have a link to that I can put in somewhere?
Sorry, I use my laptop. I don't use my laptop. So you can check the DDF wiki. Yeah.
5G NRM, what did you call it again?
A configuration. Yeah.
So it's network resource management. Is that what NRM is?
Network resource model. Yeah.
Okay. You can send me a link to it later too, if I can add it in the notes here, if you can find it.
Yeah. I'm gonna send you. Okay. Or I can put it. I did this page. this page.
Yeah, yeah, you can later add it to this page. Yeah,
And also, as you note, I have given the initial idea in the DDF. I would like to re-represent it more details in your meeting or in 5G meeting.
Sure.
I don't know which.
Yeah.
Less you, quick, maybe. If you can want, schedule it, yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Of course. Let me put it down. So August 1, 8, 7. Okay, sure. Sure. So, yeah, if you would like to present next week, that'd be great. I'll have you down in the calendar here. All right. And if you just send me some links or some if you have a link to a slide or something, just let me know, and I'll add it here. Okay.
Yes. And one more thing. I'm also would you mind putting my name to the 5G PNF software upgrade?
Yeah. Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
And let me see if. Are you in the base page? Let me see. PNF support, software upgrade. Okay, so you are aware of this page, right? I think you have the.
Yeah, Zhu and me created this page. And
okay, great. Okay, and so the next thing this team needs to do is put in the impacts for. I added this table in last, you know, in the past week, and to hit M0, you have all these JIRA tickets, which is great. And then now we need to do. You don't need to put the JIRA tickets in this table. You just need to know, just to give a summary of, for these platform components, what teams or functions are impacted. So, for example, like, you know, update vid GUI to support whatever. So there's a vid impact, right? So you have a base use case or epic. You describe that epic, yep. And yeah, okay. Okay, great. Let me see. So let's see, presentation. Right. So some of the architecture flows. This week I also presented the SDC flow this week at the architecture call. So you guys can take a look. Basically, it relates to PNF onboarding and pre-onboarding. And there's four basic methods of or means to onboard: Tosca-based Sol 04, heap-based template VNF onboarding, Tosca-based VNF onboarding, and then manual VSP onboarding. And then PNFs as well have the automated way that was introduced in R4 and manually. And so we went over this flow here, which describes the flow of and the steps for onboarding in the architecture subcommittee. So you can take a look at this flow. If you have comments, you know, let me know, and we can update these flows. Zhu and I were working on this. All right. So I went over the ANEI stuff already. So there's still some, if you haven't seen this yet, there's still some debate on this proof of concept definition. And if you haven't seen it, I encourage you to take a look at it. So basically, this is a page where in the earlier releases, there hasn't been a really good definition for a POC, and POCs were kind of just done however they were done, right? And so the TSC team wanted a more formal definition of what a what's sort of in a POC, what it is, a definition of it, and there. So I was working with Ala and some others to come up with and refine a definition of a POC. So POCs will have sponsors. They can't be blocking in the current release at all. They should comply with the ONAP development guidelines to close, you know, make sure your POC doesn't create vulnerabilities. It could use proprietary components, so be aware that none of those can be incorporated in the final product. Security, compliance, performance, you know, you're not creating any backdoors, and it should be approved for inclusion. Whatever the POC is doing should be completely independent of the main release, and that you can't be impacting to the main release, both documentation and its release lines and testing. And its code should be completely independent of the main release as well. the code that you use for the POC should be kept in its own separate branch. The POC software using common code doesn't change the treatment of common code. That it's separate and different. Now, there's an exception to that, of course, that a PTL may want to run sort of a test or trial or POC for inclusion in that release, and that's kind of the exception case, right? So normally, POC software wouldn't be incorporated into the current release, but due to how due to how components are developed, that was an exception. It may or may not follow a process. The scope should be defined and communicated. And then finally, a POC could have something, or hopefully demonstrate something useful within the release, show something that is meaningful and useful that other people might want to use. And so in the next release, in the following release, you can propose it as a new requirement. Or a new use case for inclusion into the official release. You also don't have to, of course, introduce everything, but you can introduce part of the use case if you wish. And then it's up to the POC team to properly merge the POC into the main branch. And of course, it can't have any proprietary components. All right, any comments or questions about that? Okay, see a couple of the people joined. Melanie, are you there? Melanie, can you hear me?
Sorry, it took me a minute.
Yeah, so I had covered the topic about that we were talking about with the meeting that we had with the harmonizing and aligning the various data models and standards.
Yeah.
I see Tracy's on the call, but she's not on video, on audio. So I'm wondering, I mean, where have we gotten to this? Do we need a new use case or something? Or how is this proceeding? We haven't really moved forward on this, I think.
Yeah, I haven't. I'm not invited to the, I need to get, if you get those modeling calls, I need to get those.
Sure. Yeah, I can forward those to you. Yeah, there's a number of modeling calls each week.
Yeah, I believe Tracy's working some pieces of this, but you know, why don't we schedule a discussion on it? I mean, we can schedule one offline first to prepare for one that we bring in here, if that's
sure. Yeah.
Preferable, but yeah, I'd like to be aware too.
Right. So I did mention before you joined the call, there is a new use case in R6 related to this RAN standards harmonization, meaning ORAN and 3GPP. And basically, ORAN is going off and defining a bunch of stuff on their O1 and A1 definitions documents, and encoding what protocols to use and so forth. And those ORAN and ORAN is driven by 3GPP. So, you know, it uses basically 3GPP standards to define and develop their stuff. So that said, I think there is a new use case covering some of this stuff. And the question is that enough? And Tracy
You know, what we had talked about internally too was that, you know, we could issue kind of a first round that includes more the standard pieces, but the second round would pretty quickly include some kind of extensions that I don't know if we then need to vet or if that just includes extensions, but it, because we have an early use case for 5G on with the gold standards and kind of field guide alert type things, if you're familiar with that.
Yeah.
So, but that was kind of the extent of the discussion. And it's actually quite soon. I mean, it's like a year from now that would be coming in, maybe just slightly over a year from now. So,
right. And also, I think, you know, I think ONF is optical, right? And ISOMI, I believe, is optical. And I know the ORAN is RAN, 3GPP is RAN. So there's a number of RAN-based standards, and then there's ones that are optical, and the 5G use case is related to RAN standards. So I don't know if there isn't, I know right now in R6, a opticals types standards. They've been more silent, I guess. But you know that maybe they need to introduce something or propose something. Somebody from that domain may wish to propose something.
Participate in ONAP, the optical people?
So I've been in touch with at least Nokia's optical division, they're only, well, you know, I can't speak for everybody, but there are people working ONAP, but I don't know everybody here, obviously, if there are people from, if there's optical representation here, you know, there's lots of people that are, I think, in different stages of engagement, right?
And I know even within AT&T, I think you've got some optical people who are somewhere in ORAN working.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
For example, Oliver, you know, worked on Open ROTM. So, what level they're working on optical pieces, or whether those vendors are, you know, Tracy probably has more visibility into that than I do.
Right. So I think the thing is, the fear might be ONAP fully aligns with RAN, because there's a lot of visibility and a lot of discussion and a lot of work on the RAN side of things, right? And then, you know, a couple releases down, optical comes late to the show and says, hey, you know, what about us? So it's nice that Tracy brought up brought to our attention things related to optical, but I don't really see their engagement very much.
And I can talk to her about that too.
Okay. All right. So maybe if we, it's an agenda item that we talk about. So, I mean, we can talk about it here, some here, but also if you want to call a follow-up call so that we have some more intelligent discussion here, that's fine also. But right now, as we're coming into R6, we're already starting to look at the impacts of the R6 to hit M0. Different teams are looking at this is one, more details of what impacts there will be in R6 and impacting what functions and things that are being impacted. In other words, there's a lot of movement in the use cases right now, leading up to M0, which is the end of August, just a few weeks away. And and this isn't even a proposed use case yet. Outside of the RAN standards harmonization, which is good. I mean, there's a lot here, right? So that covers a lot of these, I feel, but none of these. So maybe we just want to open up that discussion a little bit, make sure that ball doesn't get dropped if it's something.
Yeah, and I was looking at whether, you know, some of the people from like High Street were on the call today. I don't see them because I think they would also have some awareness of some of that status too. So
I don't know if you have a contact from if there's something else I need to add to.
Martin Skorupski. You have him?
Oh yeah, I've seen him on a number of calls before. Yeah, okay. Okay.
Yeah, and I think he knows other people who've been working on it with him, but
sure. Okay.
I think they're the ones who are really.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So one other thing, let me add this into here. Yao Guang, so for the 5G NRM thing here, let me just add to this table. 5G NRM network source model. Can you give me like a one sentence description of what's network resource modeling? How should we put in here as the description of the use case?
Okay, I think I will get update this week.
Yeah.
Or you can update okay next week.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Sure. Why don't we do that after I see your presentation? I'll be able to update. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Great. So we've reached the end of our time here. We've hit the top of the hour. Thank you everybody for joining and good discussion on the use cases and stuff. And I hope this was useful to you. All right. Thanks a lot.
Ben, I'll include you in an email.
Great.
Tracy.
Wonderful.
Okay.
That sounds good. Okay. Thanks guys. Have a good day.
Bye.